Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Ghost Doctor, a conversation with Donald Molnar. Who is that brightly lit figure standing down the hall? That was a question that Donald Molnar had to square up as a child. It was the first of many experiences that would haunt Donald throughout his childhood and life, a life that would eventually lead him into the field of medicine, a field that would put him close to death more than he ever thought possible. Today, we discuss his life of ghosts, as well as how he views the paranormal as a doctor.
You know, so my interest in paranormal, it started way back when I was a kid. Some of my earliest memories, I remember having, strange experiences and really not quite understanding it. One of the things I always kind of bring up is, I think I was kindergarten age, 5, 6, that age. And I started seeing this this figure of light. It was child size. I could see like the head, the shoulders. It was light, but it wasn't too bright to look at, but it was definitely like all light. And it would peek around the corner and look at me. And I'd be like, what? And then sometimes I would see it like run across the living room or something like that. And I finally mentioned to my mom, I'm like, Mom, I'm seeing this like some kind of, it looks like a kid, but it's light. And she's like, what? And she goes, well, that's probably just your guardian angel. So I kind of just chalked it up as my guardian angel. But that's like one of the things that I had. And I remember, you know, way back when. And I think something else that kind of makes me open to the paranormal is the idea that my whole family was kind of really into it. Like my mom, she was really into the spiritual side of things. Like her and I remember, like being in elementary school, we'd have these deep conversations about like God and Jesus and the Bible and things like that. So she was really into the idea of, you know, religion, and she was real open to the idea of like spirits and ESP and psychic abilities and things like that. And then my dad, he was a little less religious and spiritual, but he was more into paranormal stuff like Bigfoot, UFOs, and ghosts. So the reason why I tell you all that is that there was like always an open forum to talk about ghosts in our house. So when stuff would happen, we would all kind of share our experiences. But, you know, jumping backwards to being a kid, I mean, so that kind of seeing that light figure, and then it seems like all of my life, no matter where we lived, and even till now, even to this day, I've always had experiences. And so that's kind of what got me interested into it and all that. So
it's interesting. So you had the experience and you had a family that was very accepting of it. It wasn't, oh, you're just having a dream or you're seeing things or it's your imagination. They're like, no, it's probably that.
And exactly. And when we get to it, you know, get out down the line here, depending on what we talk about, I mean, we would compare notes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was times where I'll just jump ahead and tell you. So I was probably a teenager, high schoolish, and we lived in another, this was a different house than the house where I lived when I was a little kid and saw the light figure. We had a pool table in this house. It was like a split level house. We had a pool table down in our family room. And my dad and I used to play. My dad would, he was a steel worker, and he would come home at, you know, crazy hours. And he would sometimes wake me up and have him come shoot pool with him and play pool. So there was a couple different nights I remember where I would hear the pool balls break. Mm-hmm. It'd be like late at night, like, you know, after midnight, that kind of thing. And I hear the balls break like somebody was playing pool. Mm-hmm. So I would think, oh my God, Dad must be playing. So I'd run down there and, you know, and see if he wanted me to play. And so I would go downstairs to look and see, and the pool table would be covered up. We kept a cover on the pool table. So the pool table was covered up. The balls were up on the wall and the rack, nothing, but there was clearly pool balls breaking. So I had that experience happen a couple of nights. And then maybe a week or so down the line from that, my dad's like, hey, we were sitting around the kitchen table, all of us, and my dad's like, I thought you were shooting pool the other night, Don. It was like, you know, really late in the morning or really late in the evening. I was like, what are you doing? And so he goes, I come down there, and he goes, there's nobody shooting pool. and the table was covered, and there's balls on the wall. He's like, so is this crazy that he had his own experience, totally separate of my experience. Mm-hmm. And we both kind of thought each other, you know, was playing pool. So, you know, that's kind of stuff my family kind of experienced. So
yeah, like as a mutual experience. And that's an interesting thing. And I want to talk about the just kind of the sound aspect of what you guys experience, the audible aspect of hearing the yes. pool balls break. That's, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, I think almost everyone most would at least know what that sounds like it from some experience in life, whether you have a pool table or have been around one at some point. It's like bowling right. pins. It's a very distinctive sound. When you hear bowling pins going down, that's bowling pins going down. There's nothing else like it. When you hit pool balls, that's pool balls breaking. There's no other sound really quite like it. So,
the other thing too. So you'd hear the balls break. Mm-hmm. Then you would actually hear some shot. You'd hear balls fall in the pockets. So we had the kind yeah. of pool table had individual pockets.
Sure.
So, you know, just like you're saying, when the balls break, it had a distinctive sound.
Yeah.
When the balls fell in the pocket, it also had a distinctive sound. So you would hear the balls break mm-hmm. and you'd hear balls fall in the pocket too. It was crazy. Yeah. So anyway,
there's so yeah. very, very distinctive sounds with that. And you get to the table and I guess you would expect, even if no one had been there, in your mind, I'm assuming you're going to go and see, you know, the pool balls on the table or, you right. know, in places as if they had been in play. That would be what you expect to explain the sound. But when you get exactly. there and they're not in play, they're not in any position for this to have even occurred. What is that? I mean, this is just an opinion based question, but it's the audible thing is so interesting to me where like it's similar. Like, well, people will say, I heard like dishes breaking in the kitchen and they go in there. And in some cases, there's utter chaos and the kitchen is, you know, destroyed. In other cases, everything's put away nice and tidy and nothing happened. There was no tornado that went through the kitchen. But yeah. but they hear those things. I mean, what do you make of that when you try and wrap your mind around that sort of occurrence happening?
You know, it's interesting to think about. You know, I don't know if is it parallel universes coming together for a period of time, and you know the sounds that you're hearing are coming from, you know, from a parallel universe or some kind of dimension that's around us. Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of residual energy? Now, interesting with this pool table was it was a brand new pool table, so you know it wasn't like it was an old pool table. In our house that we were living in, we were the first ones to live in that house.
Yeah.
So, you know, so sometimes people say, well, there's residuals,
yeah.
you know, like if you go Civil War battlefields, right. You always hear cannon blasts and shots, but there's nobody there to fire the cannon or stuff. So there, you know, so there's some idea that there's this leftover energy, you know, or residual sounds that happen. And it's curious about where that comes from. If it's just imprinted on environment around where all those things happened. You know, for this particular pool table, it's really strange because I don't know why, you know, it's not like it was an old table and it's an old house. And,
yeah.
you know, so I'm not sure what it was almost like a new sound was being projected. It's projected onto the pool table, unless, I don't know, maybe the energy of me and my dad playing before somehow got stored in the environment around the pool table. And that was replaying itself for some reason. But yeah, it's curious to think, you know, when you think about battlefields and those kind of things, it's like that. It's like residual energy has been stored. Mm-hmm. But it is a great question to think, where is it stored and where does it come from? And why is it on one day and not another day? And,
yeah.
you know, is there some kind of, is history replaying over and over again?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it just happens to leak into our world now. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I guess the assumption would have to be made of why does residual energy have to come from somebody or something that's dead? And
that's
I think
a good point.
That's what I think we've always kind of subscribed to for so long. But I would say in the last couple of years of having conversations on this show, the idea of us and the easiest way of putting it is us haunting ourselves.
Right.
With that sort of residual energy that we have created ourselves unknowingly. It's not like we have the choice going, I'm going to put this energy on here and this is going to happen. But just by living our lives and by having experiences, by having moments that are more emotionally charged than others, I believe that sometimes, you know, you have the situation just like this, a house that had not been that old, that no real history of a haunting, objects that were not old either. Because one of my initial questions was going to be, is this an old pool table? But obviously not. But let me ask you this, and it could be just as simple as you know, you and your dad having those moments together. Obviously, you know, you're a little kid. You're excited to get up. Your dad's like, hey, let's play pool. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we shouldn't be up doing this, but it's our little secret and this is fun. You know, just kind of those innocent moments you have with your parents. That's awesome. And to you as a kid, that's exciting. And to the parent, you know, it's even more special because it's you're creating those moments with your kid. So I could imagine that that would be an emotionally charged moment even more for your dad than you at those times, because he was getting to have those moments and those memories with you. And I'm wondering if that piece of energy right there is what, you know, kind of created that atmosphere for those sounds to be recreated. However that works, however our energy does what it does, if that is simply what that was. I mean, the other thought would be, the question I would ask, you know, was there anything going on in your life, in your household at the time that was fairly dramatic or traumatic or anything like that, that, you know, because those sort of moments can also seem to create imprints in odd ways.
Yeah, you know, in regards to that question, not really, no, it's just normal stuff. You know, I was just doing high school, my dad worked, and, you know, nothing overly traumatic back then. But yeah, no, it's a good point. I never really thought about the fact that as living, I mean, it makes sense that we can imprint our energies as we go. It's like, you know, you're right. So often on investigations, we think it's just leftover energy from people that have passed. But why couldn't we leave our energy like today? Why can't I leave my energy in a spot and then it replays itself over and over again? I think that's possible. And I think that would explain, you know, because I don't, you know, it's hard to think that the pool table was haunted or the house was haunted. Although, you know, we had other experiences in the house, but I almost think it's more that what you're saying and what you got to is the idea that we imprinted that emotional energy because it was fun to, you know, you know, for both of us to do that. You know, and it wasn't just, you know, we as a family, we played pool too. Like I have two sisters that are younger than me. So we would have pool table nights, you know, like I remember New Year's Eve was always, you know, my mom and dad never went out, but we'd stay in and have like family New Year's Eve night and play pool, you know. So the pool table had a lot of opportunity to, you know, to have an imprint. And then I guess you can even go and argue like, well, you know, the pool table is made out of slate. You know, there's all these different theories about, you know, different rocks and crystals and, you know, quartz and things like that being able to hold energy. So does a slate pool table, you know, does it hold energy more than anything else? But yeah, I think that's actually interesting to think about that.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. And press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.